Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again. And I'm also thankful that Brother Rus has sat down so that he can come right back. That's just the way it is here. A word I want to read is in Luke 21. Luke 21, from verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may receive strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We are here to pray, but we realize that we are being given a prayer request directly for this hour of prayer. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may receive power to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There are certainly many prayer requests, and they may be important, but if they are of a temporal and earthly nature, then they were not worth taking up our time. It may indeed be that we see things that are really quite small in the sight of God, that we see them as who knows how big, that we see them as something out of the ordinary, and may not realize that they are part of a believing life. If any of us, myself included, wanted to have a good or beautiful life on earth, perhaps even ask God for it, that would not be in His will at all. We have to go through many tribulations and trials to enter the kingdom of God. And there was no one on earth who was as misunderstood as our Lord and Savior. Misunderstood from His birth to His crucifixion. Of His birth it was said of Him, out of wedlock and such like, this and that, even to the point about His ministry, He was called Beelzebub and then crucified. This was His way. Now, what shall be your way and mine? I believe Brother Branham once quoted the song, Shall I be bedded on roses while others walked through briars? What do we want to ask for tonight? What is our prayer request? When we sang the first song, "It burns in my soul, the fire of love burns." Yes, thank you. I had to compare that to my own right eye somehow. I must have got a draft, and it's burning, and I can feel the burning. There's a reaction. It's not just words. I can feel it when it goes up and down a little, and I can also feel it when it doesn't go up and down. It burns. We sang, "The fire of love burns." And who feels it? Who can feel it? Who realizes that it's hot? A cold fire that is painted. We have also heard about it. And whoever wants to warm themselves by it freezes to death and can marvel at it, but gets nothing out of it. Instead, they end up getting angry and saying to themselves, "What's the point of this art? I need reality." Sometimes small things can be used by God to show us great things. We feel, especially all the sisters who sometimes, when tasting, feeling a little hot, they know what that means. And when we sing, "The fire of love burns," where do we feel it? Where does it get hot? Where does something melt? It has to be there. And if it's not there, then we either didn't really believe or lied when we sang, or we didn't pray earnestly for it to be given to us. Here, we are clearly told, "Watch therefore always," not just sometimes, all the time, "and pray that you may receive power." And then we think of Romans 8. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Power from God must come into our inner being. And at Pentecost, there was both fire and Spirit. The lamps had to burn, and where no fire is lit, nothing can burn. Even a lot of oil, and the most precious oil, is of no use at all. The wick must be there. Our Lord said that He will not quench the smoking flax. We may really think tonight, you all know the lanterns with a wick, that it's just barely. And the Lord looks at us and says, "Children, the midnight hour is at hand. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. You need light. I will not allow this smoking flax to go out. I will refill your lamps and rekindle the fire so that we will all notice. We should realize it. When Isaiah was before the Lord and had this tremendous experience, seeing the cherubim and so forth, they cried out, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And then suddenly his lips were touched and he became a different man. He recognized himself, but was then also ready to serve the Lord. Here, in Luke 21, as in Matthew 24, there is talk of the end times, in verse 9, about wars and riots. If you read this word, rebellion, here today, verse 9, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. But it has been announced, it is approaching, but it is not yet here. But a period of time will pass, but it will certainly come." Then it says, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines." Don't we hear all this over and over again? "And pestilences and all kinds of things that will come upon the earth, of which we certainly never heard in the past." Today, we hear about everything in the press or the news. Ethiopia used to be a rich country, but now millions are facing starvation. And the word is being fulfilled. And it goes on, "And pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." And this goes on and on until we come to verse 24. And there it says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." This was announced to the people of Israel, because they did not recognize and accept the Lord. He told them, "Your house is left unto you desolate." And he says, "The days of vengeance are coming." Here it is in verse 22. "For these be the days of vengeance." Imagine, referred to Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. "That all things which are written may be fulfilled." All things. There is no word that is written that will not be fulfilled. And then there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Yes, who has the solution today? Today, everyone is afraid of everyone. It is perplexity. In the past, there was advice aplenty. Today, there is no advice at all. The counselors themselves need advice and have none, and no one to give them advice, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. It is a thing that has slipped out of people's hands. It goes on to say, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Everything is there, but after these premonitory pains, all these signs of the times are announced to us, and then the promise, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then it says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When we see all this, and we see this, right? That's what we see every day. If not one, then the other. Hardships and disasters of all kinds, everywhere. When I sometimes read the names of the storms that wreak havoc, one is called this and the other that, but they all wreak havoc. They just always have a different name. Today there are two young Filipino women who know what the storm recently did there, everywhere, and the thing gets a name, but devastation remains, no matter where it is. Disasters of every kind. That's on the outside. We register it. But a word from the Lord is addressed to us. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Then look up. If we want to compare this word with Matthew 25, then at some point there is a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And those virgins all stood up. Here it says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, arise. God will only work with us and through us with our will and not against our will. God has never saved or healed or blessed anyone against his will. But if we want to, then he certainly will, and we can count on his help. Here comes then the parable of the fig tree and all the other trees that sprout, and we realize that summer is near. Then comes the exhortation that we have already read. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you, not upon the unbelievers, but upon you, unawares, as a snare. I don't know if anyone here is involved in surfeiting or drunkenness or alcoholism, but the worries of life can be quite an oppression. They can weigh us down so that we lose the joy of the Lord and of salvation and of all blessings. And we are weighed down by these worries, as the Word of God says here. And that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It will be so, but it shall not come upon us. We should have clarity, according to what Paul writes to the Thessalonians in chapter 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. But we must nevertheless, if we think we have received light, be aware that these things, and I say this now to myself personally, the cares of life shorten our lives and hinder us from serving the Lord freely and openly. Did not our Savior himself say that we cannot add one cubit to our lives through worries? No one has ever achieved anything with God through worry. On the contrary, he just burdened himself. And we can perish under it. Sometimes I actually wish I had the mentality of black people. Yes, that's how it is. They are carefree. They sing with nothing to sing about. And yet they sing. Doesn't matter. They are happy about life. And if they are only happy that they can live or breathe, they have no worries about what the next day will bring them. But this really seems to me to be our prayer request today. Mine personally. Who can I serve happily if my worries don't let me be happy at all? Who can I serve unburdened when I myself am weighed down with all the things and hassles of this time? No, God has not ordained us to go along here with whining and complaining. God has ordained us to bring comfort to the despondent, to lift up the downtrodden, that God can use us to help others after he has helped us. And today, we want to implore this grace from God with all our heart and ask him to help us. For it is really also about receiving the strength to escape all that is to come and to stand before the Son of Man. May the Almighty God succeed, who has shown us so much love for all of us, that we show the same love for one another, and that a divine atmosphere can truly arise, in which every person and also the Lord feels at ease, so that we can come before his face free and unburdened. Let us take what is written here in verse 36 as a direct prayer request. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may receive strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. It is also clear from this that the Lord will take away his own before the terrible judgments hit this earth. We have not only a great hope, but a living hope, which God has truthfully and faithfully placed in our hearts. A hope that he himself has made alive in us through the promises he gave us in his word. And we want to hold on to this hope until the end. Brother Rus will now speak to us. You know, when I ask that we all come as far forward as possible on Wednesday evenings, it's not just so that we can see you face to face, but that we come together properly for prayer and everyone opens their heart before God and everyone prays along and can hardly wait until the one prayer that is loud has finished, so that others can begin and pray. May the Lord not only tell us what to pray for, let us say, as his disciples did, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. I have sometimes said it here. None of his disciples asked, teach me to preach, and teach me to evangelize, and teach me to sing, or whatever else might be in this plan. Teach us to pray. As simple and plain as these words may be, but if the Lord could teach us to pray according to his will, that we might receive certainty in our hearts through the Spirit, this is the request that I am to bring before the throne of grace today. And we then bring it in faith, because it has been given to us by God. And then we have the certainty that he will hear us. Let no one despair. God lives. He has addressed so much to his people. He cannot abandon us shortly before the completion. He will carry out his work marvelously to the end. Now we warmly welcome Brother Rus. He was away for a while, and time passes very slowly. But we are grateful. God bless you, Brother Rus. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't think we need to say anything more. God has already spoken to us through his word. And we as human beings can only heed the word of our God and receive it wholeheartedly. Anything else is of no use to us. If we do not take God's word to heart and do not receive it, we pass him by. And then it is too late. But I believe he has always spoken to us. He is always full of grace and love. And we are people who always want to hear his word and take it to heart. I noticed in this context, as Brother Frank said, that we can't just pray that things go well for us, because our Lord foretold his disciples what will happen. Are God's words empty words? We see that everything the Lord and Master spoke has been fulfilled. It was not an easy way. It was not a simple way. But it was a way of persecution, of pain. And the same, beloved, will befall everyone who wants to live godly and walk with God. But, beloved, there is one consolation that the Lord has left us. He says it here in verse 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And we must all take this to heart. perseverance. And I have noticed that these dear brothers and sisters want to be there at all costs and want to persevere, want to stand on the word, whatever comes. We know that the enemy is cunning. He tries in different ways and through different people. And sometimes he even comes in the form of an angel to somehow harm the believers. But beloved, it says here that we must persevere in faith and in trust, because the words of God are true and sure. I was thinking, I read in the prophet Zephaniah, I opened the Bible, and this word was before my eyes. And it says here that this is the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah. Then we can rely on the fact that God has spoken it, and that it has been preserved until our day, and that we can see by the grace of God what is prepared and what is to come. It is near, and we have read it. All is in perplexity. I was thinking, and Brother Frank has already said it, people are looking for advice, one to the other. They have become perplexed, and indeed, they have become helpless. But the one good thing, beloved, we don't need to become perplexed. He is our counselor. He has given us the advice tonight. And he always gives us the right advice, beloved. And that's something wonderful, that we can rely on it. Not on the word of man, not on what men say, but on his word. We can believe with all our heart what his holy mouth has spoken. And people may say, huh, this is written in the prophets. Beloved, as true as it is written here, this is the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah. We can rest assured, if it is yet to come, it will come. And when we read in verse 2, and then these words that had to be spoken, then we can only say, Lord, who will contradict your word? Who will turn back your hand that you stretch out? No one is able to do it. And when he says, I will sweep away, yes, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, who will resist him? You or I, or the rulers of our time? No one will be able to. Dear brothers and sisters, we can see they are at a loss. They are afraid. It's strange. When you cross the border, they are so curious and want to know what's going on the other side. What is it? Fear. Fear is in their hearts. They want to know what's going on. Beloved, we don't need to worry. There is one who cares for us, and that is the living God. We can trust in him, and they can really see what's coming. I don't know if you heard it on the news yesterday, but the old chancellor and the other one are campaigning for the great powers to stay in constant contact, because they are in fear. Beloved, many people may see the fears and yet do not turn to the one who brings them comfort and contentment, and in whom they have life, and they think that if you stay in contact, then nothing can happen. Beloved, what the word of God tells us, no contact will remain, nothing will benefit, but it will happen. And we don't want to pray, O God, don't let it come, but we want to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, and make us ready. We want to be ready. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may receive strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Beloved, we need this power more than ever before. May the faithful God hear our prayers this evening. We do not come to pray that one wants to hear the other, but we want to pray to God that He may hear us, and that we want to be ready, whoever we are, beloved, whether big or small, young or old, whoever we are. We don't know whether we'll come together again. We don't know. Who can say? You see, you can be torn so quickly from life. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know. But we want to be ready when He calls us to come. Oh, how wonderful! And even if it goes through some difficulties, our brother said it has to happen. And then we must also be grateful for it and say, Oh God, if this way is prepared for me, then I want to walk on it. The disciples could not choose any other way either, only the one that was meant for them. And our Lord could not choose any other way either. But He said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will be done, but yours. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we too would like to say, not as we want, but as He wants, as God wants. May He give us grace. This word here in Luke 21, it's the words of our Lord. And He spoke so forcefully to His disciples in those days and to us today. In your patience possess ye your souls. Brothers and sisters, let us persevere. Let us be steadfast. Let us pray as our Lord tells us here in His word. They are not empty words. We all need to be encouraged and moved by the Holy Spirit tonight. We need it more than ever. God bless us. Let us stand and pray. May we all, in turn, whoever wants to open his mouth and give God the glory with all our heart, maybe in a short prayer so that we can all pray, dear brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we are coming together, O God. May we all once again lift up your holy name together. And may we also come before you, O Lord, with all the prayer requests that have been entrusted to us. We would like to lay everything before you, O God, especially Brother Geiler, O Lord, and also all the other prayer requests, Lord. Lord, you know the state of everyone. Lord, you also know that the brothers and sisters have commended themselves to be prayed for in the East, Lord. My God, they remember now when we are gathered here before you, so their thoughts and their hearts are also joined with us here, O Lord. Worship to your name. Lord, we pray thee especially, remember the sick, Lord. Have mercy on them, O Lord. May it, O Lord, be to your name's honor, that your name be glorified. Lord, if you do anything for them, O God, that they may praise you and glorify you, Lord, for the great deeds, Lord. For you have not yet ceased to work. You are still the same, yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Worship, glory, and thanks be to you. Again and again we may experience that you are with your own, Lord, and that you are with those who confess you, Lord, that you stand by them, Lord, and that you are with them, even in the difficult hours of trial, Lord. You never left your people alone, not even your disciples, Lord. You were with them, Lord. You are also with us, Lord. Glory to your marvelous and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless us, Lord. Bless the gatherings this weekend. When brothers and sisters come, Lord, we don't know how many come, Lord, but it doesn't matter with you how many or how few, Lord. you are able to speak, and you are able to save, O God, and you are able to make all things well, Lord. Worship and honor to your glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.